And welcome back to A Mime Soapbox. Today, I have a special guest I've been trying to get for quite some time that I met over TikTok, of all things, is the redneck boomer I am. I have Old Head Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
It's good to finally get to hear your voice on here. And then also, to make it doubly as great, I got my buddy Chris, who's also going to co-host today, and because he knows Mike a little bit and wanted to talk to him too. How you doing, Chris?
What up?
Cool. So we're going to get straight to the skinny here. Mike, I met you over TikTok, as silly as it is, you know, we're both 30-year-old adults with children.
Yes.
But the first thing I noticed about your TikTok, mind you being somewhat of a TikTok clouder.
A little.
Just a little, right? Is it seems like you post like 6 times a day and never run out of energy, passion, or creativity to continue to get in front of the camera and do so. How do you find that inside yourself to keep up with such a rampant amount of metalcore content?
It's weird because I'm technically relatively new to TikTok. I didn't get on it till July of this, like 2021. My girlfriend was always on TikTok for like since its inception, and like I was always like, damn, you're always on that app, you know. I was like, that's lame, that sucks. And then like one day I just was like, okay, I'll look at this thing, and got on there, and then just I don't know, man, stuff, random things pop in my head. I spend a lot of time scrolling, just browsing people's stuff. And then like, I'll see someone post something and something will pop in my head. I'll be like, oh, that'd be a cool idea to play off of that. And then I'll save a draft, you know, and that's really the secret, is saving a bunch of drafts. So then like when you do have those moments, when you can't think of something, you just go in there and you find a draft and turn it into a thing.
That is something I never take advantage of. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I know, with the whole like finding a sound or finding a video to go ahead and make something accountable with, that happened. I did that this week finally, just like I got a lot more free time currently, so I'm like, I'm gonna make some TikToks when I have a little spur of inspiration. But my spurs are every 5 days while yours are every 4 hours, which is amazing. But there was one where there was this like guy in a Walmart or Target or Aldi's or I don't know what, but he gets in there and he points at the Dr. Pepper flavored baked beans.
Oh yeah.
And points at it and says, who's buying it? And I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, my wife bought those beans a couple weeks ago. They're in my cabinet. Like I'm going to say I'm the one buying it, just as like a shits and giggles.
Yeah.
And that ended up being like the most popular one I've done in quite some time. And it was probably the laziest and silliest too, which is,
yeah, I saw that. Weird. I actually saw that one.
It's so silly. Like beans, like come on, of all things.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. So, but I do know the one I found you from, I think, was the one where you were working at like a game store and you got your free like employee t-shirt that was like,
yes,
that's double X or whatever it was. Yeah. That's the big one, right? Because I think
that
I
was that. My most viral one. Yes, that was the one that like started my TikTok career.
That free comic book day.
Pretty
sure.
Yeah, I was working at a comic book store. Rest in peace, that job. And we had some shirts come in from Scotty Young, which is my favorite comic artist. If you've never heard of Scotty Young, look him up. It's with a K. And so we got these free shirts in for the employees, and I walked in by myself to open the store, and I was looking through the shirts. I was like, oh, I wonder if they, got one for me, because I wear a 2X and largest in the store. And so I was scrolling through it, and as I get to the bottom, there's a 2X for sure. They never asked me what size it was, okay? They just guessed at a 2X. Thankfully, they guessed at a 2X and not a 3, or I would have been mad. And so I find it, and there's a sticky note with my name on it. I was like, really? I was like, no one else had a sticky note. It was just me. And I was like, okay. And for some reason, when I did that, like I laughed myself. And so I was like, I could record that. That would be a funny, like, it was just like a stupid little thing. Like that was it. And then I'm at like 3.2 million views on that. And I was like, Jesus. I was like, wow, this is kind of easy. Like, because the way I go off is especially like with my YouTube too, when I make jokes on there, I try to do stuff that I laugh at my own jokes. I try to make stuff that makes me laugh. If I'm watching my reviews and I don't laugh myself, then I'm like, nah, that didn't work. I didn't do something right. So
yeah, I don't post anything that I don't laugh at myself, and I don't really care if people laugh at it or not. I really I post it because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Now, with that insane amount of viewership and interaction, were there any ridiculous things about it that really stood out to you or that you remember? Maybe some stupid comment or stitching or whatever it might be?
I'd say the one ridiculous thing was people started saying, it didn't like catch on for very long, but people started saying size Mike. Because they'd say, but we were size Mike. I'm size Mike too. And so it was pretty funny. I made like a little video off of that too. And it was pretty funny.
Well, dad bods are in right now. So if you mentioned anything about being a bigger guy, there's your first magnet for views.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, bigger guys like comic books. It's just, I don't know. It's just science, I guess. But I gravitate towards nerddoms that you, and that's what, when we were on stream the other day, I mentioned the job. I didn't mean for it to sting like it did, but, I play a lot of Magic. So I've recently run into a bunch of TikTokers that make Magic content, and I didn't know Magic could be as funny as it is. It's being broadcast to me. So it's been an experience just looking at where like all these fandoms now that get to pop up out of nowhere. Like, well, you know, obviously there were fandoms like on Reddit and stuff like that, but now it's like, it's rapid fire. Yeah, right, and in your face
it's
now.
It's visual. So it like helps people, you know, it kind of brings people a little bit more together. Like I've found a lot of people that like bands and stuff that, you know, that usually in my circles, I'm the only one that freaking knows who it is, you know, which is kind of like why I go by Old Head Mike. Is it's my like thing is, oh, I like this band from so long ago. No one knows who they are. And then, you know, so then I post about it and people are like, oh yeah, I remember them too. And so that's like, it's like my main thing now. It's just, it's what I love to talk about. But also, I actually plan on getting back into Magic too, by the way. I used to play Magic in the 90s, like 98, 99. And then I got out of it for a long time, but, ever since like working in that shop, it's got me. I'm like, I kind of want to get into that again.
But Yu-Gi-Oh so much better.
Me and him just downloaded the new Yu-Gi-Oh game. We've been playing.
One of my co-hosts, Jordan, told me to get that. I haven't downloaded it yet, but I probably will. Although I've never played Yu-Gi-Oh. That's like the one I never touched. So
the learning curve is really, really, really insane right now.
Yeah.
It's nice. Also an older game that likes to incorporate new mechanics consistently.
Yeah.
And it gets out of control. So get ready. I'm still catching up, and I used to be a diehard Yugi guy. So
yeah.
But the cool thing about it is that it gives you a lot of, it's like gratifying to play it from the beginning, because you get so much of the currency in game to like start busting open packs, which I don't know if when you played Magic, that was my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
You get all that content like really quick, and you can really start building an actual competitive deck to play online as soon as you complete like the intro to it. So it's definitely worth a check out if you never played before either.
Yeah, I've watched Penguin Zero Charlie from YouTube. He was streaming on Twitch. I watch him on Twitch. I watch him a lot for some reason. I don't know what it is, but I like watching him. And he was playing it the other day and opened like a million freaking packs on the stream, and it was pretty cool.
I saw TikToks of that today, actually.
Yeah.
He pulled like three shag dolls like in a matter of 2 minutes, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was super. So yeah, so it was funny, you know, because I believe the first time I met you, or was shown you anyway, because I saw that TikTok about your, you know, the game shirt at the company, and then I liked it, and I didn't really care about the content because I'm not like I'm just a large right now, a big bellied large beer belly, but you know, I was like, man, this dude's got some sick ears and a mullet. I'm in, you know, because I got big ears and a mullet too, so I'm like, that's cool. So I'm just gonna like this, you know.
Yeah.
And then he came up later, and then the future content I was getting from you was your VHX collecting, and then other like 90s like retro tech collection. You had like a little shrine corner,
my PlayStation and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, and you had the Batman TV, right?
Yes, that is.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Okay, I'm not losing my mind. I thought that was you. Yes. Like, so that was cool. And then you know, like I was like, well, I have a huge like retro game collection. I'm like super into like arcade and retro gaming stuff. This is cool. So like we both have stupid ears and mullets, and we like old technology, you know, and like. He probably likes vaporwave too, you know, and whatever else. Oh, like yeah. This guy's got to be right up my alley. He's just like a slightly bigger Texas version of me. Like I need to know this guy. Like there's too much going on here, you know. And I think there was like some, I saw something on your wall or something too, and it was, I don't know, a movie or an anime or something like. And I was like, mm-hmm. this me and this guy would be like best friends if we lived, you know, closer together. And
yeah,
that just blossomed into that. And I, you know, I finally hit you up and. Got to get into chit chatty McCaddy, and you're finally on the show now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's crazy like how many people, like I said, that I've met and have like from TikTok and YouTube and everything, just from like music and anything. It's weird because I've never like I only really started getting into like this style of like social media recently, you know, after I started my YouTube. Before that, I was just kind of was really like a loner type of person. You know, I just kind of had my little friend group. I had like four or five friends and we'd go to some shows and that was really it. And then I, you know, started having the gall to start my YouTube, and it helped me break out of being anxious a little bit. I still got some of that in there. But that just broke into like, now I know, you know, a lot of people. I get messages all the time, be like, hey, you know, I get a lot of people that say stuff like that. Like, we would be totally best friends if we were, you know, and I'm like, well, hey, I'm right here, you know, come, we hang out virtually, you know? So,
you know, it's funny, like talking to your YouTube, like the first time I got to, I think, catch you live, cause I had seen some of your content previously as well. And I finally hop in there live, say hey, and then coincidentally, the Kenny from, you know, Dead Vectors was in there too, who I just finished an episode of the podcast the day prior or the day of, whichever it was. I can't even remember.
That's
but yeah, crazy. I hop in there and he's talking about the show he just did with me, and then I hop in and I was like, wait a minute, what podcast you did one with me? Oh, we're talking about the one you did with me. That's awesome, you know, like. Just on a spur, I saw you stream it, like your Discord, you know, name was like, oh, he's streaming now. I was like, oh, cool. Right click, watch, you know, like I'll check it out. And then lo and behold, that blew up. And that was just a fun, silly situation.
It's crazy. It's a small world, and it's virtual too. It's weird.
When I got into that one on that, that day that I got into the stream or whatever, you guys had just finished, he said you had just finished playing something from Manhack. Which, Manhack, and then also Hollower. Those two guys. Yeah, I've known both of them for going on 20 years now. So it's like it was really crazy. And by the way, I think I messaged you a while back about getting you some VHSs.
Oh yeah.
I actually have some VHSs that I will send you, and I still have to just find them and pack them up. But speaking of those VHSs, is there anything like specifically you're looking for that you collect on the hardcore?
So with my VHS collection, I have about 2,000 VHS in my living room. Yes, I have three giant bookcases, and. The ones that are displayed is my horror. Horror is my favorite genre, and is also the hardest to collect and most expensive to collect.
Drew any more ideas. He's already got a bunch of.
Real quick, give me your top three horror.
I knew it was coming.
Ever?
Oh man, see on the spot.
It could just be today too. What you're feeling today? It's not cemented in history.
So
search your feelings.
Obviously The Thing from 1982 is number one.
Yep.
That's a given. That should be everybody's. And then the rest kind of just like varies. It just really depends. My favorite franchise is Scream. So, I guess you could put Scream in there as well. I love all of them. And the first one, you know, mind blowing, and Matthew Lillard's a king. So,
hey,
hey.
And then I'd also say probably Candyman. Candyman has always been one of my favorites as well. Tony Todd, also a king.
True, true that, true that. Hell yeah!
But yeah, yeah.
Do you guys? Does Days of the Dead come to Texas? I feel like it does. I know it goes to California.
I don't know, but we have our own horror convention.
Oh, okay, cool, cool.
Called Texas Frightmare. We have that yearly. It's in, I think, Arlington, usually at the airport. Yes, and it's at the airport. It's like Arlington / Grand Prairie. There's like
I'll tell you what.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of King of the Hill too.
Good.
It's at the airport. The airport is like it's like it's almost its own city. It's ridiculous. If you drive in it, there's like it's a highway that goes through it, and there's exits to different docking stations or whatever the hell they're called, and it's miles wide. It's crazy.
Atlanta's kind of like that. There's some exits like, in Atlanta to like the air cargo and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And there's like, and so there's like a couple hotels that are for like the pilots and stuff. And so, they have, for some reason, that's where they hold the convention. I've never been, I've always wanted to go. It's just like time never worked out for it. And, but I do plan on hitting that up soon.
We got to get you come to Atlanta for Dragon Con, bro.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's
have you heard of Dragon Con?
Yeah.
Right. It gets bigger every year. I think last year it was upwards of over 100,000 people.
Oh, geez.
In the weekend.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's not all the people that were there. It's just, I think they counted that as all the people that were there at one time.
Right.
No, thanks. No, thanks. That's too much. Days of the Dead probably has like 2,000 tops for the whole weekend, you know?
Oh yeah, that is probably Anxiety Central.
Yeah.
Dragon Con's a party though, bro. It is, it gets real wild and real weird.
I bet. I've heard some stories about like anime conventions and stuff.
There's a big anime convention here too, AWA. They have that. And honestly, it's like, they're maybe like a week or 2 weeks apart. So you get one weekend for that, and then that's you got to recover, and then you get another weekend of it. But the anime week in Atlanta is nothing like Dragon Con. I've been going to Dragon Con for a long time, and it's just gotten crazier as I've gotten older.
That definitely sounds fun.
You know, talking about big, like really big, dumb shows.
Oh, Mike, yeah.
What do you think about the big, dumb emo show?
So I have tickets.
Well, that solves that. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying if it's a good or a bad show.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of the controversy surrounding it on day, what, 3 or 4 now we are into the depths of it. Like, where do you stand on this?
So when they started announcing it, so but part of my like thing, my, I guess you would call it brand now, is I help announce like festivals and tours and stuff, because you know, sometimes you don't hear about tours coming through until like last minute. So when I see one pop up on Facebook or something, I'll make a video on YouTube, or I'll make a TikTok or both. And so anyways, I announced that, and then I kept getting a bunch of comments about how it was like fake and stuff. And then I was like, none of these make sense. And so like I did some deep diving, and it was mostly everything that I found that everyone was talking about was just all like conjecture, and just people like jumping into conclusions and misreading things. And it was just really strange. There is some weird things about the festival. They did some shady things. I will give them that for sure. But it's like, it's way too big to be like fake. Like so many people called it fake. And I was like, there's no way. It's Live Nation. They host pretty much every tour, like big tours that come through, you know, like Tool, all those kinds of, that's all Live Nation. Like if you've been to a concert more than 2 times in your life, you probably went to a Live Nation show, you know? And so I, it was just a little ridiculous. I'm halfway like over it at this point. Like I've seen just so much talking about it, and I just like,
It doesn't stop. Everyone has their hot take on the whole situation. Yeah. And like, I'm not an emo dude at all, but for some reason it seems like TikTok clumps like emo and metal stuff together.
I'm
not even like the biggest like modern metal dude. I mean, I am, but like I'm more into like old school death and industrial stuff than a lot of like the metalcore stuff even, but I still get the emo stuff.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute.
It's all for Knock Loose. That's the whole reason you got it. It could be.
You know, cause like I get like Blink 182 TikToks or Sum 41. I'm like, this is the stuff like I made fun of kids in high school for. Like, why is this show up on my thing? You know, like this isn't me. But I think it just all correlates like alternative music. You know, like it has a guitar it's alternative. It's clumped. Yeah.
It's loud.
So let me throw you through a ringer here. And I feel like this is the greatest conspiracy of all with this new, the big emo show. I forget when we were young, right? Is that what it's called? I'm calling it the big emo show because I couldn't remember. I'm not trying to be rude, but what if it's not announced yet, but it's going to take place in the metaverse, and that's how it's possible.
I've heard a couple people say that, and I was like, that would definitely be some BS if that was true. Like, for one, why would they have even put like a location or anything? And for two, honestly, it kind of would have been smarter.
It's going to be performed at the location, but then broadcasted through the metaverse.
That would be ridiculous. That would just piss off a lot of people.
Saves all the logistics of like, oh, how are you gonna have so many bands play in one day, herder, and all these other stupid thoughts about it, like, you know, people can't plan and schedule. But what if it was in the metaverse?
I get random people messaging me on TikTok. They'll send me videos, especially if it's like pertaining to the conspiracy. They'll be like, hey, what do you think of this? You know, it's really crazy. And so I was talking to one person the other day and they were saying, you know, maybe we could link to some bands and see if they could live stream it and stuff. And I was like, you know, that is the weirdest thing that they haven't. Like if they could set it up and announce it, we got plenty of time, but that would have been the smartest thing because this is an obvious cash grab. I mean, I'll give them that. A lot of the shady things they did was to get money. And imagine if they had actually just set it up for live streaming and that way the entire world could have just participated in it. They could have marketed this to everyone and everyone could just pay their little, you know, set up some servers or whatever. I don't know, whatever BS. And then everyone around the world could just like pay some like virtual tickets and watch like all these massive, massive bands play and stuff. And that's money right there. You know, like, why did they not tap into that? And now they're probably going to hear this podcast and they're going to be like, this guy's got a point, you know,
and they're going to charge 25 Dogecoins for it.
Metaverse mosh pit. Look out.
Yeah.
Meta tokens
or Fortnite. We could just be Fortnite.
No, dude, that's what I was going to bring up a second ago. They've actually done live shows in Fortnite. So like a live show would go on and you'd be on the server, like watching a concert in Fortnite, which is kind of strange to me, but I get it, you know, but I've heard some crazier conspiracy theories than that, but that could be for another time.
It's the fun, silly one, and that's why I always like to grab on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like the one that really gets the clock ticking. You know, you start thinking about it a little more instead of something being like really dark or shady or malicious. Just like, what's weird? What would be weird? They do it in the metaverse. Like,
well, that's honestly, cool. It would have been cooler if they would have done that and then, you know, been upfront about it, be like, hey, we got all these, come, you know, try that out. And then they could market it with Facebook or whatever. And then like collab, they're just, Live Nation's not very forward thinking, I think is what it is. They're just, they got their head stuck up somewhere and they're just thinking about the money and they're just not there. It's probably a bunch of old dudes is what it is. Probably a bunch of 60-year-olds.
Imagine that. imagine boomers.
When we take over Live Nation or something similar to that, we're gonna have some like smart stuff going on. Mark my words.
All right. So aside from the big dumb emo show, I just don't know enough about emo to even make like good jokes.
I mean, AFI's on it. That's my biggest.
AFI had one good album.
Excuse me. They had like they had at least at minimum three pretty perfect albums. Okay,
Mike, I know you don't know this yet.
The ones before the old punk albums were the great ones.
First off, I hate punk. I hate all punk music. And Chris will attest to this. Like, I can't do punk. And I don't do emo at all whatsoever. I can appreciate some punk, like, you know, like the true greats like Billy Idol and Adamant, but aside from that, it doesn't go much further.
I'm the punk guy. I'm very much a punk guy. Like,
what was it? It was Sing the Sorrow is one of the greatest albums ever made. Ever. End of story.
That's number one.
The ones before that, though, are all great as well. Sing the Sorrow is where I stopped listening to AI.
There's too much AFI. Whoa. It's the whole albums. It's just the woes. The woes and the O's. That's it.
Okay.
Well, they changed from gang vocal woes to like singing woes.
Yeah, I can see that. But like, so the two albums before that, so there's The Art of Drowning, Sing the Sorrow, Black Sails in the Sunset. Those three are, in my opinion, like incredible. Everything about them is pretty much perfect. Sing the Sorrow is obviously their number one, but the two before that are great. I personally also love December Underground, the one after Sing the Sorrow.
See, that's what everyone always like circle jerks about is December Underground. I thought it was awful personally. That's
got more of that emo feel to it.
It got too emo for me, and I just don't deal with emo. And I know that like a lot of people, like I get in arguments about it where I'm like, no, Sing the Sorrow is one of the greatest rock albums ever written. And then it's like, oh, well, December Underground. I'm like, all right, we can't even talk. Like, we just can't talk about this.
But if you like Sing the Sorrow, man, you have to at least listen to like the Art of Drowning and Black Sails in the Sunset.
I've listened to them. It's just like Sing the Sorrow had like a good handful of rock compared to just punk or emo.
And it was like that and Stay Fashionable is probably the best album AFI's ever put out.
It was just their happiest middle ground of everything they're good at. They brought on that one album.
Yeah.
Like if you have a scale of like emo to punk, right in the middle, they found like a cool rock vibe somewhere. And that's what Sing the Sorrow was.
And it's funny because pretty much everything after December Underground, if you actually go and listen to it, which I don't really listen to all their new stuff either, but everything I've heard from them, it's basically The Cure. They just sound like kind of The Cure now.
It's
which weird. Makes sense. If you listen to the old AFI, you can still feel that influence in there, but now it's like straight The Cure.
Yeah, it's not bad. They had one or two super catchy singles release in the span of the last, I guess, 5 years, but I couldn't tell you the name of them, so I guess they weren't that catchy. But
also
I didn't hate them.
I did want to just shout out Thursday. Thursday is playing that show, and Thursday is pretty much the best live show I've ever seen in my life, and I've been to a lot of shows, and they are perfect.
They do put on a good live show. It's
incredible. They are technically emo, wouldn't call them emo. They're post-hardcore is what they are.
Yeah.
But you know, everyone attributes it to screamo, as they would call it. But that band live, I saw their finale show, which is funny because now they do tours. I saw their finale show in Dallas with Vane, of all bands.
That's what a weird lineup.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's not their first time. They did a tour last year, I think, with Vane again. So they're like, I guess they're friends. I don't know. But hands down, like the best show I'd ever been to. It was incredible. So if anybody's listening and you haven't heard of Thursday, go listen to Thursday. Understanding in a Car Crash, perfect song to start. Just jump off right there.
I saw Thursday a long time ago with From Autumn to Ashes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
But 18 Visions exists.
There you go. Now we're talking.
I haven't really listened to them as much.
Really?
Jordan, one of my co-hosts, is obsessed with them. And Poison the Well, both bands I never really was familiar with.
18 Visions is weird. You need to listen to like their albums in order, because they touch on a lot of different subgenres in a really quick span.
Yeah.
In a really cool way, though.
And they do it very well.
And I'm probably partial because they're all a bunch of industrial dudes at heart. So.
I liked industrial in the 90s, you know.
Sick.
Do you like any new industrial?
No, not that I know of.
You ever listen to Three Teeth?
Yeah, I was going to say, we can change that really quick.
That name sounds familiar. I have probably heard something from them. I mean, and Code Orange is now an industrial band too, so.
They are, yeah. That's pretty
weird. They are, but not in the vein that Three Teeth is. Three Teeth is like, it's like, I wouldn't even say new metal. It's more like a metal core industrial. It's kind of, it's very, I was going to say industrially, but no, it's like what modern industrial needs to progress to and stay.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'd have to go look at them, but I'm the name is extremely familiar. I've probably heard something from them. I can guarantee it.
There's nothing comparable in modern industrial than Three Teeth. I've seen them like three times now, but yeah, like them and Youth Code, they're both, I mean, like two generations ahead of everyone else right now, which is sad. I mean, it's a dead genre. Who cares? You know, but yeah,
there's this mega Dreamcast of industrial.
Yeah. Fear Factory is still around, I think.
Yeah, Fear Factory is also one of the greatest bands ever to exist on Earth. So
they were one of the first like heavy bands I ever got into.
Sick.
Invisible Wounds. That song.
Actually, last time I was in Texas, Mike, I went and saw Fear Factory. No, wait. Really? No, I saw Burton play with Ministry. Sorry. He did backup and guest vocals for Ministry.
That's crazy.
With Al. It was at Emo's.
In Austin.
Yeah, in Austin. We went to Emo's, and then the day before, we went to Stubbs and saw Electric Wizard, which is probably the greatest band of all time.
Nice.
Yeah, that show was so good. Holy moly. Oh, boy. But yeah, going to see an Electric Wizard at Stubbs, a barbecue joint in Austin, Texas. And then the next day, going to Emo's and seeing Ministry and Chelsea Wolf. I mean, that was a pretty cool Texas experience, I guess.
Yeah, funny story. I saw AFI at Emo's as well. So.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. It's a cool place. I like it. I like it. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, I liked it. Parking right up front. You know,
perfect. Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever been to Atlanta, Mike?
I pretty much haven't been out of Texas except for when I was a kid, and that was when I lived in Louisiana, and I also lived in New York for 1 year, and that's it. I haven't been pretty much anywhere else.
You didn't get to experience the premier concert venue for metal and that kind of stuff in Atlanta, and they tore it down recently to gentrify the area and turn it into like an apartment complex or something. Oh, of course. Stupid.
Yeah.
But it was, I did some work there, but it was one of those buildings where it was like multi-tiered. And if you saw a really heavy concert on the top floor, all the building was made out of like wood planks. So people would be jumping up and down, and you didn't know whether it was the last time you were ever going to like walk out of the Masquerade or not while it's still standing. Yeah. But that was like kind of the allure to it. You know, you go in there and you go see a heavy band and everybody's jumping up and down, and you can literally feel the energy in the floor.
The risk.
Yeah, dude. It was like an extreme sport going to see bands there. And then like if there's like a concert going on, like one below it and one above it, like you didn't know if the stage is going to fall through the, you know, the ceiling and crush you to death.
Yeah, my favorite Masquerade story, actually, I mean, it's long. I'm going to keep it super short, but I got to see Cattle Decapitation at the Masquerade, but it was at the smallest stage they had. It was Cattle Decapitation, Dark Sermon, and King Parrot, which King I love all three of those equally as well. But they were in Purgatory, which is what they usually use for like acoustic guitar sets that are like pull up a stool and relax, you know, with their coffee kind of thing. And so we're talking like a matter of probably 400 square feet, maybe 450 for that like audience area. And it was the first time I finally got to see Cattle Decapitation, which I think is my favorite metal band. I really do.
Really?
But I got to see them, and it was like a super rough, violent show since like King Parrot opened. But like halfway through the Cattle Decapitation set, I basically like got like pushed up to the front of the stage. I think a friend did it probably intentionally because I'm a smaller guy and I got big friends, but got pushed up there. And then eventually like kept getting like pushed up further and further. And I'm like basically standing on stage, like 1 foot on and 1 foot like halfway on. And then a whole song was sang around my neck. for a Cal decapitation set because I had nowhere to go. So Leisinger, he just goes over there, puts his arm around my neck, and then, you know, regurgitates into the microphone for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen him before.
God, was it amazing. Oh, boy.
He does those highs and he like sticks his tongue out. He's like, yep.
It's so good. He's a whole nother level of metal vocalist that people really don't realize the talent that exists there and the creativity and imagination. Like, I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you're big into Cattle, but there was watching a document, like a making of the last album, and their producer was having to tell him he's not Celine Dion and not to go so like silly on the melodies while he's doing his like tongue out high, you know, gerbil noises. And he's like trying to create like this like full blown like symphonic like melody chorus, and they'd have to tell him to like take out a few notes and chill it out. It's a metal band, and you're not Celine Dion, you're not on Broadway, and you know, they dial it back.
No.
It's killing. It's so good. This is of all bands, like Cal Decapitation. I mean, yeah, like, you know, you think
very angry vegans.
It's just you just think through like their discography and what they've done, and then all of a sudden now, like, you know, oh, you're taking a little too far in the melody there, bud. You know, dial it back a little bit. It's mind blowing. Cal Decapitation even doing melody in the first place. So other than the Big Dumb Emo Show, Mike, what albums or events are you looking forward to for the rest of the year that have been announced thus far?
So albums, I'm hoping. So my favorite band of all time is Periphery. They've been teasing that they've been writing, in 2021. So I'm fingers crossed on something this year, because, every album they put out is pretty much perfection.
They've gotten really, really good lately. Especially once was Misha. Is it Misha? What's his?
Yeah.
Once he joined it.
He is Periphery.
Yeah. At this point, he really is.
Everything that's early Periphery and even some new Periphery is Misha's old stuff. Misha had a solo thing that it was called Bulb, and it was just him with a guitar and some, you know, an interface, and he would just write stuff on the computer, and then that evolved into Periphery. And so like sometimes they'll still like go back and grab stuff from those old stuff from like I don't even know how long ago. I want to say it's about 20 years that he's been writing stuff. And so they'll just go back, pull some songs, and then write around it. And
what's your favorite Periphery song real quick?
The Way the News Goes. It's actually not a heavy song. It's weird. Anytime anybody asks me a song, my favorite song from a band, it's usually the most catchy song. As opposed to the heaviest stuff. I don't know what it is. Those are the songs that really like stick out to me, like ones that I can just sing along with and just like,
I'm like that a lot with a lot of bands. No, I understand. Like a lot of times like, oh no, this one's really, really catchy and it's a earworm and it's in there for a week. Like that's a good song. But I think Blood Eagle is by that's far superior Periphery material.
Oh yeah. There's a YouTuber, I can't remember his name. He goes by the Decomposer sometimes, but it's he basically listens. He's a production person. Like he does stuff for bands. Like he'll like record bands and stuff like that, and knows how to like compose music and also stuff like that. So when he does reactions, he breaks it down as a composition and like talks about like ideas behind like the sounds that you hear and stuff, like deep stuff that you wouldn't think about. And he listened to Periphery. He listened to that specific song. What was it again?
Blood Eagle.
No, it wasn't Blood Eagle. It was the Reptile from that album.
Oh, okay.
From that album. Yeah. From that album. Yes. Reptile. He listened to Reptile. It's like a 10, 12 minute song, something like that. 15 minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. And Prague, you know. And
well, I'm a doom boy. I'm used to like 16, 80 minute songs. So yeah, it's fine.
And when he listened to that, he said like, he was like 10 seconds into it. And he was like, I can already tell that this is like going to be like one of the most perfectly composed songs I've ever heard. Cause they have like a little orchestral section. And he was like, that is exactly how I would write an orchestral section if I was a writer. And it was just, I was like, yep, That's true. That it is.
Nice.
But yeah, so Periphery, I'm looking forward to Periphery, hopefully. For the Fallen Dreams has also teased some stuff. Another one of my favorite bands of all time.
Interesting.
Yes, love For the Fallen Dreams. I have a For the Fallen Dreams tattoo. And then, as you've seen from my face, I also have an Oceana tattoo. And Oceana's also writing stuff right now.
Yep.
So
I know that guy. I know Adam.
Oh yeah, Adam is super cool.
He's good people.
I've been friends with him on Facebook for several years. Talked to him about alien conspiracies and stuff back in the day. He's super humble and just a nice guy all around.
Yeah, he stayed at my house when they played Atlanta a couple times.
That's cool.
Once when he was with Oceana, and the other times when he was touring with what was the band he was playing with at the time? It was Windy City Hate. It was one of their albums. Demolisher. He was doing vocals for Demolisher at the time.
Huh.
And
a long time ago.
He's good people. Yeah. Like he's one of the best band members that I've actually met.
Oh yeah. So. I love him. He streams on Twitch. I watch him all the time. I hit him up on Instagram, you know, we'll talk, and he's just great, dude. I love his, it's not even just him, like his vocals are like my like some of my favorite deathcore. Like
disgusting.
I love seeing deathcore. Deathcore is a genre that I don't like sit and just listen to all the time, unless I get an urge to listen to a specific song or something. I'm more of a, I want to go see deathcore, but Oceano, I can listen to Oceano all the time. And I would crowd kill to just Oceano, like, or just Adam doing vocals on stage, no band needed. Just give me those gutturals from Adam and I'll start whacking. So
a wild
Oceano. Yeah. Bops, just straight bops.
Yeah, thankfully Oceano is even much heavier live than they are on album. It gets really gross.
Oh yeah,
every time I saw them, it was always disgusting.
One of the funnest shows ever.
Yeah, they're big nasty. All right, Chris, you got any other things you wanted to bring up with Mike real quick while we got him?
We were going to talk about your. Well, we did start talking about your tattoos. What other, do you have any like meaningful tattoos, or are they all goofy tattoos like me?
So it's a mixture, but, I'd say they're all kind of meaningful though. I have a thing for lyrics. That's some of my, anytime I give a band like high marks is, like, I'll give everything like a 9 out of 10, but if they can like make me cry, you know, if they can hit me emotionally or something like that, that's what makes them a 10 out of 10. And so a lot of my tattoos are actual lyrics, and they're all like positive. That's my, like my favorite thing is
stay positive, bro.
Yeah. I think it's more of a, to help me be positive. It doesn't really work, but I like to have them on me and just to like remember. And, you know, like the Ghosts Inside, another one of my favorite bands of all time. All very nice. Like super positive. You know, I just love that uplifting stuff. And so, yeah, I've got a lot of like my For the Fallen Dreams, for example, tattoo is the album cover. There's a girl. She's like wrapped in cloth and she's holding an axe. And I have that as a pinup style. It's a pinup style. And it has the lyrics from one of the songs. I can't think of it off the top of my head. It says, life is what you make of it.
Nice. And,
so everything pretty much revolves around that. I've also got Pushing Forward from Arsonist Get All the Girls on my arms.
Yes.
Arsonist Get All the Girls. Nice.
There we go.
Yeah. I love that band too. Seen them so many times, a ridiculous amount of times. And so I've got Pushing Forward for them from their song, Triceratops, Pushing Forward Every Day. That I've got that and many other lyrics. I've got a bunch. I've got some After the Burial.
Nice.
A band called Catherine.
I've heard of Catherine.
Yeah. They're old school Risecore from like 2007.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a bunch of goofy tattoos. I've got like Pokemon, and I've got a Hello Kitty tattoo where Kuropi the frog is dressed like Reptile holding Hello Kitty's head. Like,
that's cool. That is cool.
And her spine. Yeah. I drew it when I was in like eighth grade, and I was going through some stuff and showed a tattoo buddy of mine, and he was like, "Let me draw that on you." I said, okay.
That's sick. Yeah, I also have, speaking of that, I have Sailor Moon, Artemis, and Luna, the cats. I have them as my hand tattoos.
Very nice.
Yeah,
very, very nice.
My sister is a very much diehard Sailor Moon fan, so she would be squeeing right now about your Sailor Moon tattoos. Oh, yeah,
I hear it all the time, especially because they're, like, on my hands, so they're, like, the most noticeable part, like, when I'm out and about. Like, I'll get, like, cashiers, they're like, "Oh, my God, Sailor Moon." Yeah. Sailor Moon's, like, Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z were, like, my main... That was, like, my two in the 90s.
We could do a whole nother podcast about talking about DBZ, bro, so we're not even going to go that route.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, that one gets real deep and real long. Let me tell you. All right, Chris. So, in closing now, because I know you got to get going, I want two more things from you, Mike. All right. Uh-huh. One, I want you to start with by for the audience, for those that will be listening, for those that get to actually kind of hear you for you instead of your TikTok, you know, entertainer.
Yeah.
What do you want them to know about you that they may not know already? Right. Or maybe just not be like
obvious,
straightforward about or obvious. Right. And then secondly, you got to lay out your socials so people can find you. Right. We need to know them all. We can run down the list. Let's go. But first off, like, what do you want people listening to know about you that they may not know?
So I'd say one thing is that I love metalcore, you know, obviously that's like my whole thing. It's near and dear to my heart, but I almost listen to as much synthwave as I do metalcore.
Yes. Yes.
I love synthwave. It's like, so I love EDM in general. I love all kinds of techno. I love trance. I love house. All of that. I love all of that. That was like ever since the 90s, you know, Prodigy, all that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I grew up on and skating rink music. You know what I'm talking about. And so that influenced me a lot. And so I'm still super into that. I'm actually in the process of tonight. I've been trying to order some stuff. I actually plan on writing some synthwave.
There we go.
And also writing metalcore. Me and my buddy Jordan are going to start a band. We haven't 100% decided on a name yet, but I would be playing keys, obviously. I know how to play piano to an extent, so I'm going to be doing that, and that's going to be really fun. It's going to be like a kind of like a throwback style stuff, like, but also with like just really cool synths, like some little techno beats in there too, so, you know. We haven't written anything, so we'll see where that goes. But yeah, so synthwave, absolutely love it. The Midnight, I got to see them a couple months ago, actually in November, I think it was. Nice. one of the most amazing shows I've ever been to. That was so fun to see them, and that's a big thing for me because I don't go to many non-metalcore shows, so that was one of my first outings not seeing that, and so it was perfection. It was incredible. Love synthwave.
And I adore synthwave too. I didn't know you were down with that.
I've actually
it opens up so many new fake doors.
Yeah, I've been planning on like throwing like when I, you know, one of these days I'll put a video up about me doing. I've had some ideas for synthwave, especially when I get my equipment and stuff and I start writing it. You'll probably see some stuff about that too. I'll probably also start a YouTube channel separate for that as well. But yeah, so speaking of YouTube, obviously YouTube is my main thing. I am, I guess, a content creator on YouTube. That's where I started. Old Head Mike Show is what my whole thing is called, but my specific channel is Old Head Mike's Metalcore and More, where I talk about pretty much mostly metalcore. I've had a couple other stuff. I've reviewed some Synthwave on there, but the and more just is just so in case I cover my bases, in case I branch off anywhere, and someone's like, "Excuse me, this is not metalcore," you know. Well, hey, it says metalcore and more, you know. So I also have a channel called Old Head Mike's Horror Emporium, where I review horror movies. I haven't been active on it in about 6 months, just due to time and brain management. Like, I can't get myself to sit down and do it. But I absolutely plan on getting back into that as well. If you didn't know, my channel, my YouTube channel, actually was horror and metalcore when I first started. And then I started to realize that that doesn't really work. If you want to get big, you have to have a niche. Which I have a niche, but you have to be specific. And so I was like, well,
very, very tunneled. Yeah,
fine. I'll split it. And so I split it. And then that meant that now I just do focus on my metalcore because my channel is monetized. So that's, you know, so that's where I spend most of my time is on that. But I absolutely plan on doing some more horror stuff. And like I said, I'll probably start up a synthwave one when I start writing music. Expect that very soon. Like I said, I'm ordering the stuff tonight. So some synths and stuff. But yeah, you can all find me on Instagram, Old Head Mike Show. I think my Twitter is the same, Old Head Mike Show, all one word. Those are my main two. And then, of course, TikTok, Old Head Mike Show as well. You got to keep it simple and easy to find. So, but I'm super active on TikTok because TikTok's so easy to bang out a 10-second video, you know.
It is. It's so simple.
Yeah, I think that's why I just do so well on it, is because it's like, oh, you know, I'll just post a little video here real quick, especially if it's about like a song that I like that pop in. I'll just like sing along with it, or like I said, if I see a festival or a tour pop up, I'll just be like, hey guys, check this out, and then boom, you know, done. YouTube, you gotta edit stuff and it takes time. But YouTube is my home, and I'm honestly blessed that I started it. I had been talking about doing a YouTube channel for the past like 5-8 years, I don't know, and I just too anxious. I was like, you know, I can't talk in front of a camera. I can't talk. I don't have the equipment. I don't have a camera.
Yeah, I remember blah, blah, blah. Like the old compared to the new.
Yeah, it's rough. If you go back, it's rough. But you know, once I started doing it, I was like, you know, this got simpler and just kept getting. And now, especially with TikTok helped a lot too. Now it's easier for me to just talk to people. And so, but it's super cool to have the community that I do, and, you know, fellow old heads and new heads. I've got, you know, plenty of like, the newer generation people who haven't heard of some of the bands that I talk about. And that's like kind of the point, is like, I'm trying to share old stuff. I'm also trying to learn new stuff, you know, cause music is like one of the most important things to me. And I know a lot of people feel that way too. And so I just want to share music with people, man. You know, that's it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You're in good company if you want to talk about music, bro.
Yeah. Music is just something special, man. It just, you know, it makes me feel all the emotions, and just it's music's life. So now it's my thing. It's music is life.
There's not many genres that I'm not very privy to. So yeah, if you ever want to just, you got a wild hair and you want to talk about a genre, just say, hey, genre. And then I'll be like, hey, I know about these guys or these guys, you know.
Hell yeah.
A lot of stuff that Drew necessarily doesn't listen to, I'm into. Like, the more the punk stuff is, and then every door that opens up when you start talking about subgenres of punk, that's all me.
Oh, yeah. Hardcore, let's go.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I was a hardcore kid. Like, straight up, like going to see Hatebreed and like Blacklisted and just all of the beat down hardcore, as it were.
Oh, yeah.
And crowd killing.
Death Kill.
Oh, yeah. You ever heard of Murder Death Kill, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Those guys were super hardcore over in, they love to come to Atlanta because we'd get buck wild when they would come and play.
That's awesome. I love it. I live in Texas, and Texas, we you'd be surprised. We have our own little thing going too.
Oh yeah, man, you got Unity TX. The guys.
Oh yeah, Jay's one of my good friends, the vocalist. I've been going to shows with him for a long time. The drummer, Jonathan, my favorite local drummer. He's incredible. Yeah, they're all good dudes. Oh, love them.
I heard they the song that got really popular. I can't think of it right off the top of my head, the name of the track, but let me introduce you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm interested. I'm a really big like old school hip hop fan too. So like I'm
oh yeah, big into, they've like, got that Wu-Tang, they've got Clan, that mixture. And,
yep, and I was like, this seems like a perfect marriage between these two genres. So I'm all ears now. You've definitely got my attention. So
oh yeah, Unity TX is incredible.
Never heard of them.
Oh, I've showed them to you once or twice at your house. It's more of like more of like a hip hop and themed like beat down band.
Yeah, it's hip hop and hardcore. It's a very interesting mixture.
Not no face, no case hip hop deathcore type stuff.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not saying anything is wrong with it at all. I love No Face, No Case, but they're not for everybody.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, I've listened to them.
Well, cool. I think that wraps it up, because I know, Mike, you got actual, you know, stuff to do other than talk, you know, with us two boomers about metal and TikTok, because, you know, that's what boomers do, I guess. But
yeah,
it was really fun. And I have a feeling we're going to be talking to you real soon, too.
Oh, just, yeah, for sure.
Just a guess. Maybe some synthwave talk or some horror talk. Oh, yeah. That sounds really good.
Hey, that's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, we can talk more about some arcades, too.
Yeah, we can get deep and heavy in some horror and arcade stuff.
Games? Oh, we're talking about games too. I'm a big gamer. We didn't even go into all that. This would be a 3-hour podcast. So,
I'm trying to stop this one from getting like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we'll end it there, and we'll let people be excited to hear from you again, Mike. But it's for sure. Old Head Mike Show on basically all socials.
Yeah, all socials. Specifically, if you just type in your browser, youtube.com/oldheadmike, and my metalcore channel will pop up, and you can find everything else there.
That's perfect. You know, thanks for taking your time to talk with us. I know it's a little on the moment and
oh, of course.
Interesting for always, but you know, we love that you took the time out to talk to with us, and we will hear from you soon. All right.
For sure.
Cool. And that was a new episode of a Mime Soapbox, and we'll talk to you guys in a couple more days. Later.